Second Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, God has a lot of different names because he's great big, and you just can't describe him and all he can do with one name. If you start with all the way back to Abraham, and you go through the scriptures of the Old Testament into the New, you'll find many, many, many different names for God. Now, this is, he's the Father of mercies, and it's not singular, it's plural. There are many different mercies that you are heir to as a child of God. A father has children, and you're children of the living God. Mm-hmm. And as children of the living God, you're heir to his mercies and God of all comfort. Now, that's a great verse for somebody who's had tragedy in their family. I said, Father, you are the merciful Father and the God of comfort. And I'm asking you to comfort them, Amen. To be with them, to stand by them, to encourage them, to reorder their footsteps. He's the Father of mercies. Now, mercy is an appendage of love. Turn to Luke 10. We need to know what it is. You need to know what you're getting. What's the deal? What is mercies? And Luke chapter 10 gives us more than a hint. It gives us a great explanation. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, verse 25, we're talking about mercies. If you read Isaiah 53:5, you find the mercy of forgiveness and remission of sin, the mercy of peace and prosperity and a full supply, the mercy of healing. Those three are specifically listed. Those are mercies that you're heir to as a child of God. You have an inheritance. You're a child and an heir, according to Romans 8 and several other scriptures. That's part of your inheritance. Now, if you had folks that died, well, when daddy died, mother died first. When daddy died, we had an inheritance. There are three of us. Well, we didn't ignore that. We went to see, we kind of knew what it was, but we went to see. And we knew we inherited all my mother's collection of stuff. But God is merciful. We hired a lady and she cleaned it all up for us. And we used daddy's money to do that. So that was really good. That was really good. Now look, here's the lawyer, verse 25, who comes to Jesus, said to tempt Jesus. So he's not sincere. He doesn't really want to answer. This is a trick. And he said, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what's written in the law? And he said, verse 27, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. So there's two things he told him, love God and love your neighbor. Now we're talking about love. We're not talking about mercy. We're talking about love. He said, I've done this. I wonder about him, don't you? Willing to justify himself. He wanted to look righteous. He wanted what he had done to be sufficient. But nothing's sufficient but your faith in the Word of God and your confession based on that faith. No plague comes nigh my dwelling. So Jesus told him the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember there was the priest that passed by. This man had been beaten, left on the roadside as dead. And the priest came by and the Levite came by and one just passed by and one took a brief look and kept going. And the Samaritan came and he's in verse 33. A certain Samaritan. That means this is not a fable. This is not, you know, they say a lot of things. Well, this is just a parable. No, this is a certain. This is a certain Samaritan. Journeyed, came where he called. When he saw him, he had what? Compassion. Now, if you look up compassion, it says to be merciful. If you look up mercy, it says to have compassion. So we're going to use both words. We're going to intertwine them. We're not going to be confused here. To have mercy is to be compassionate. To be compassionate is to have mercy. And the word pity, we use it differently today, but the word pity is very much aligned in the scripture with compassion and mercy. Now, let me tell you about sympathy. Sympathy is scriptural, but it's not compassion. Sympathy is, I can align my feelings with your feeling. I feel what you feel. I understand the trauma that you're in, your mental anguish. I have sympathy. Sympathy is an emotional bond. And what happens with sympathy? A week later, somebody said, have you checked on Melba? How's Melba? And you went, see, sympathy tends to fly away. I said, I meant to check on Melba. We don't have a Melba here, right? So I meant to check on Melba. And it says, weep with those that weep in the scripture. So there's nothing wrong with sympathy. It's just not compassion. And compassion is what you do. And when this Samaritan had compassion, he took this man to an inn. He bathed him and put wine and oil in his wounds. He left money for his care. And he said, I'll be back. Spend what you need and I'll pay the rest of the bill when I come back through. Compassion is what love does. Compassion is, mercy is an active word. It's what love does. Sympathy is what love feels, but compassion is what love does. Now turn to Psalms 145. Verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion. Full of compassion. Do you see this? There's an unlimited supply of compassion. There's unlimited supply. If compassion doesn't do something, it's not compassion. It's just sympathy. Compassion is what you do. I'll show you another scripture in a minute. He's gracious. Now, the word gracious means you're looking for an opportunity to help somebody. It's different than being willing. There's nothing wrong with any of these words. I just want you to see the difference. If somebody says, would you pray for Marcia? I say, sure. Now, I didn't have Marcia on my mind. I'm just willing to do that. You asked me. Or said, would you take me home? I can't get my car cranked. I said, well, sure, I don't drive it. Wayne does. We will take you home. And I'm willing. And willing is a good thing. But willing is not compassion. Compassion is I'm looking. I says, anybody seen Marcia? I haven't seen Marcia. Where's Marcia? I got to check on Marcia. Marcia might need something. And I'm going to go home. I'm going to call. See, people that are gracious want to do something, and they don't overlook the details. They see that Marcia's not here. What are we going to do for Marcia? Who knows where Marcia is? Gracious people, and the Lord is gracious. Now that's perfectly explained in the scripture. It says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. He's watching you to be strong, to meet your need. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those. See, if you need something, you're not taking God by surprise. He was watching you. He watches us as we watch over one another. And we're willing to help. But when we're gracious, we're looking. A lady called. My daddy was an award-winning diabetic. And a lady called and I said, she said, I have this recipe for, it was a diabetic fudge cake. She read me the recipe. She said, would your daddy eat that? And I said, he would be excited to eat that. And so she brought it. She's just gracious. She didn't have to bring it. We didn't ask her to bring it. We could have lived without fudge cake. Well, not too well, but she's gracious. Now, my little grandmother was gracious, and she was real tiny, about that big, foot about that long. And one day I was over, and she wanted me to take her new slippers. Somebody had given them to her, and she said, you take my slippers. And I think she wore size 4. As you know, I can't wear a size 4. And I said, well, Granny, I can't wear that. You wear it. They gave it to you. She said, well, it's brand new. I haven't worn it. I said, well, I appreciate that, but it's just too small for you. She had in her heart, gracious people, they've got to do something for you. They can't stand it if they don't help you in some way. And it's kind of a step beyond willing. You know, if you ask me, I said, sure. But if I'm thinking, we haven't seen them. You want to? This is the way I handle graciousness. You want to text and see if he's okay? This is my partner in graciousness. Now, says the Lord's gracious, and he's full of compassion. That means he has an unlimited supply. You'll never get to God and he'd say, you should have come yesterday. Because we had a run on needs yesterday, and I am exhausted and out of compassion. Never, ever happens. He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger, which is a really good thing, and has great mercy. That word mercy is the word merciful kindness. Compassionate people and merciful people that are willing to help you, that are looking for an opportunity to help you, are very kind. The word kind in the New Testament means to be benevolent. It means to do something. When you're talking about compassion, we're talking about, you don't have compassion just because you feel bad for me. You have compassion when you show up at my house with dinner because I've been sick. But no weapon forms against me prospers. No plague comes nigh my dwelling, so that isn't happening. But you can bring dinner anyway. Just just let me know. Full of compassion. Slow to anger. How much mercy? Now look, verse 9. The Lord is good to all. Good to some. His tender mercies are over all his works. Anything God made is a candidate for mercy. He's all-inclusive. He has an unlimited supply, an unending supply. There's never an end to mercy. And it's for everybody. It's just for everybody. Now look at the 78th Psalm. It's for the sinner. We know that. It's also for the saint. But here's the sinners. This is God's body of Israel. Verse 37. Their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. So you would think we could ignore them. They're not walking with God anyway. See, the church world has confused us to some degree. And we have a touch of you have to qualify. You don't have to qualify for mercy. You don't have to qualify for God's help. Then he said, he being full of compassion, an unlimited supply, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not. Full of compassion, he responded, even though they were in sin and disobedience, with his compassion. Now look at the 86th Psalm. Mercy is what love does. It's the plan of love. It's the action of love. Sympathy is how we feel. Willingness is just we're agreeable people. I'll help you. Whatever. Just tell me what you need. Okay. 86 verse 5. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Do you see that? Before you came, he's ready. I love that. Plenteous in mercy, and you'll see that over and over again in Scripture. Plenty of mercy, an unlimited supply of mercy. God will do for you over and over and over again. Plenty of mercy unto what? All that call. Now, that's not talking specifically about the sinner. It's talking about everybody. If you call upon him, he's a merciful God. He will help you. He will do something for you. Mercy is what you do. I don't want you to be confused, because compassion and mercy is what you do. You can be willing without compassion. And sympathy is just, we're bonded emotionally, and I understand how you feel and how difficult this is for you, so I have sympathy. It doesn't mean I'm going to help you. It just means I understand how you feel. Now, so if you call upon him, he's got mercy for you. Okay, look at verse 13. Great is your mercy. You understand great. $100 bill is greater than a $10 bill. Thanksgiving dinner is greater than Labor Day dinner. It was, wasn't it? Wasn't Labor Day hamburgers and hot dogs? See, Wayne's family were farmers, and Thanksgiving was everything that had been growing in the field. And you could hurt yourself trying to eat it all. And Wayne's little mom, she was short and round, and she'd say, now y'all come back for supper. And I'd say, Wayne Cumby, do not commit me for supper. I cannot do that twice in the same day. She was gracious. She was also merciful, because she fixed the dinner. You know, the okra, the green beans, the cream corn, chicken and dressing, because Grandma don't like turkey. Six or seven or eight desserts. 7-layer salad. You're getting the drift. You can hurt yourself at grandma's table. We really missed that, didn't we? Great is your mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. This is mercy to the sinner. Up above, it was mercy to anybody that calls for help. And this is particularly mercy for the sinner. And then verse 15, thou, Lord, art full of compassion. He's full of compassion. There's plenty of compassion. There's plenty of mercy. God never runs out. It says in Lamentations, his mercy is new every morning. That means every morning he has as much mercy today as he had yesterday. Even though yesterday you'd have thought you'd blown every particle of mercy in the kingdom. But no, it reproduces. Was that amazing? Full of compassion, gracious. Gracious people, what do they want? They're going to do something for you. What can I do for you? How can I help you? If I don't have an idea, I'm going to find an idea. I said, is anybody preparing food for Mabel? See, I'm hunting because I'm gracious. Long suffering, and you know what that is? It's the opposite of short suffering. Does anybody need an explanation of short suffering? Plenty of mercy. Why would the scriptures say over and over again, full of compassion, plenty of mercy, plenty of mercy, plenty of compassion, full of compassion, plenty of mercy? It's repeated over and over and over again. And why is it so repetitive?
Because it's endless.
Somehow we've tied everything into works, and you have to kind of qualify. And faith is not works. Faith is not, I qualified for your help. You know, you go to some business and you have to qualify, and you have to fill out 10 pieces of paper, and you have to sign your name on every piece of paper, and then you have to give your driver's license and your, you know, they want to make sure that you're qualified. The only thing that qualifies for me is God himself, the Father of mercies. And the God of comfort. And it's a real comfort to know that mercy is mine. It's mine. It's mine. Mercy is mine. Now, let's look at the 119th Psalm. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Verse 64. Since the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy, teach me thy statutes. If you learn the statutes of God, you'll understand the mercy of God. That God gave his word. He always keeps his word. He never backs down from his word. He does not ever lie. God's not a man that he should lie, neither son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? That's Numbers 23:19. And it says, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. See, I know when I come, Hebrews 4, boldly before the throne of grace. Let's just read that together. Don't lose your Psalms. Don't use your Psalms finger. Hebrews 4 says, let us therefore, you see that therefore? You always need to know what a therefore is there for, because it's connected to the previous verse. So let's back up. We have Jesus as a high priest. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched. So double negative means he's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. All points tempted like as we are. So he's not only touched with your dilemma, but he has real understanding of where you're coming from. And then he says, you're going to the throne. And what are you going for to the throne of God for in your dilemma? To obtain mercy and grace to help. You're going for help, mercy and grace. Now, we define grace as the favor of God. But if I favored you and you came to me and I wouldn't help you, I didn't really favor you. If I favor you, I'm going to help you. If you ask and I didn't know you were coming, I'm still going to help you. If I had you on my mind, I'm going to call and see what you need, or I'm going to drop by your house. I was coming back from I'd been at Bible study and prayer meeting years and years ago at a lady's home, and coming around Hollinsworth, my heart said, you need to check on so-and-so. Well, you know, at 2 and 3 in the afternoon, I need to get home to my children. And I'm too tired to check on so-and-so. I just tell God, he's sometimes he gets confused, you know. And I tell him, look, I prayed a couple hours. I was at Bible study. I'm too tired. But he wouldn't leave me alone. I'm so glad. So I was going home, and I pulled down her street. I didn't mean to do that. I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm on her street. Because, see, God was driving. I'm so glad when he overwhelms me. He said, no, Becky, we're doing this. So I see she's never home. I told God she's never home. She works all day. She never misses work. She's very faithful to her job. She's not home. And this is what you get from God. So I thought, well, I was going to knock on the door. And I went. She opened the door and she said, oh! I fell in my arms and I thought, I don't know why I'm here, but I know who sent me. And there had been a death, and that was the trauma. Now look, the earth is full of mercy, and God sends you on an errand of mercy. You need to be faithful. You need to go. So, but I'm not smart enough. I didn't even know why I was there. And I didn't intend to turn up that street. I was on her street before I realized it. I don't know how God drives like that. But he's full of compassion, and he fills you with compassion so that you can be his feet on earth. So that you can go and you can do. That means when you need something, somebody will come to you.
Amen.
That's what it means. Okay, the earth is full. The whole earth is full. There's mercy everywhere. Now let's look at Psalms 103. Oh, it's back, isn't it? Back one, Becky, back. Verse 8 is very repetitive from everything we've read. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Plenteous, plenty of mercy. You know, I'm not a mayonnaise person at all. You can have all the world's mayonnaise. I don't need any. But I'd get real upset if I was out of mustard. I would be just kind of upset. And when I take the mustard out of the fridge and I shake it up and it doesn't have much in it, I think, oh, no. We have to have mustard. You can shake God up, stand him on his head. He's never out of mercy. You can run out of mayonnaise. You can run out of mustard. You can run out of ketchup. You can go buy your special ketchup. You know, the kind that doesn't have the sugar in it. Does anybody buy that? Huh. Well, let me tell you, you've not missed anything, okay? But when you touch the heart of God, God says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. He's watching. He's watching. He's watching. In case anybody needs anything. I don't even know my neighbor's names. Do you know your neighbor's names? You know your neighbor's? You do know their? Of course you would. Yes, I know. Do you know your neighbors?
Some of them, not all of them.
It's going to be very difficult to show mercy and be gracious to people that we don't even say, hi, how are you? We have an excuse. We have a canal and water on both sides of our house. We can't actually get to our neighbor. And we don't know their name. I wouldn't recognize their face downtown. You can't help people you don't know. You are God's mercy. You are his graciousness. You are the one he's going to send because you're closest. Well, this little lady, she mowed her yard. Her husband didn't like to mow. She loved to mow. Can you imagine that? She loved to mow. So she mowed her yard, and there was an old man, real old man, lived next door. And so she thought, I'll just mow his yard. Well, he was delighted. And he was very generous with her, too, because he had a big glass store that he had closed down. He had a porch full of real nice stuff. And so he'd open up the porch and say, what do you want today, you know? Anything you want today. She was gracious. She thought, you know, his yard needs more. I'll just mow for him. She didn't ask him. See, if we're going to walk with God, we've got to let his nature dominate our behavior. Well, anyway, okay. And then, did I read these before? I don't know. Verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. The mercy of God never goes away. It's unending. Amen. He's full of mercy, full of compassion, plenty of compassion, and it's forever and ever and ever and ever, and it's new every morning. It never deteriorates, never goes down in quantity. That's amazing, isn't it? Yes. Now look at Psalms 145. Did we start there? Verse 9, the Lord is good to all. To how many?
All.
To how many?
All.
Now look at Luke 18. That's the saint and the sinner. The saint, the sinner. He's good to all. Mercy is for all. These are the two men that were praying, verse 10. The Pharisee went up to the temple to pray. He's praying in his own righteousness and who he is and what he's done. And he stood and prayed. It says, prayed with himself. That means he's not connected to God. He prayed with himself. And he told God, you know, I fast and I tithe, and he's qualifying. God answers prayer because he's merciful, not because you qualified. And what are you going to do to qualify? Perfect attendance Sunday school? Read your Bible through? Used to, we read it through in a year, and now everybody's trying to read it through in three times in a year. That's what I thought, too. I thought, oh, my goodness. So he said, he tried to qualify, but the publican, he wasn't trying to qualify, so he lifted up his hands to heaven and said, God, be merciful. That's the way you get help, and that's the way you offer help to other people. You say, God is merciful. God will help you. He is gracious. He's unending in mercy. His mercy is eternal. It's forever. See, here's what we do, and this is not wrong per se, but it's not right per se. We want them to qualify. First, to qualify, you have to read the scripture over and over and over and over and over and over again until you can quote it and it flows out of your heart. Well, I'm for that. But that's not how you qualify for mercy. It isn't. Now, he said, God, be merciful to me. He went down to the house justified. What justified him? What solved this dilemma for him? He asked for mercy. He went justified. The other man who said, you know, I fast and I pray, and he didn't get mercy. Now, Mark 1. Let's start Mark 1. Now, I believe in faith. And I believe in reading the scripture. And I believe in quoting the scripture. And I believe in hearing it until it's resident on the inside. But I'm not using my effort to qualify me for anything. I'm using my effort so I can stand fast, hold fast, and not quit, not give up. So that I can know mercy's coming. The scripture promises mercy. The scripture says it's for everybody. The earth is full of it. There's plenty of mercy. It's from everlasting to everlasting. God's the Father of mercy. Life begins with the Father, and mercy was God the Father's idea. You see that? You see the difference, right? Okay. Mark 1. This is the man, the leper, came. Verse 40. Came a leper to Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and said, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, this old boy's not in faith. I want you to note that. He's not in faith. He said, if you will. He didn't know if you will or not. He did go on to say, I know you can. But he didn't know if he would help him or not. And see, if we had somebody that we were praying for like that, we'd have to back up and say, no, wait a minute, listen to me. Listen to me, let me tell you something. Jesus only said, I will. The thing the man needed was to know that God was willing to help him, that his mercy, I'll show you that, his mercy was ready to help this old boy. And he didn't say, go home and go to the temple and have them read the scrolls to you. What did he say? I will. He filled in. He gave him the information that he was missing. The thing he didn't know or understand was God's willingness. And all Jesus did was take him from what he did know and add what Jesus knew that this man didn't know, and he was healed. Now, why did he do that? Verse 41, Jesus was what? Moved with compassion. One day I was at Mama's house, and a man was driving a child in a stroller, and it was way up high like this. It was a small child, and she was stretched out, and it was quite obvious that something had happened to her, and he was just had this special stroller, you know, to take her out of the house for a while. And my heart, see, it was sympathy. My heart said, oh, how sad for her. How old do you think she is? You know, I'm taking a poll now. How old do you think she is? I said, Mama, do you know where she lives? Where is that? Where do they live? Who is that? But you got to move past that to mercy. Mercy is what you do. If you're not doing something, you're not walking in mercy. Now look, Jesus did something. He said, okay, you don't know, but I am willing. I'm willing. Okay, let's look at Matthew 14:14. He did that because of his compassion. He didn't do it because the man qualified. He didn't do it because the man had full knowledge. He was shorting out just a little bit. 14:14. And that's not an excuse for us to quit studying, to quit reading, to quit praying, to quit saying. Faith is what you believe and say. No plague comes nigh my dwelling. Jesus went forth, verse 14:14, and saw a great multitude. Multitudes are measured in acres. Did you know that? That's my theory. And was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. The whole multitude. He healed them all. Why did he do that? Compassion. He said it was his compassion. Now, if he had said, oh, I'm so sorry, I hope things get better for you, that's not really compassion. And what I do, used to be sneaky. I can be real sneaky. And I was in a place of business. This lady was limping. There was only one person, the lady that owned the store. She was in the store. And I looked around because I could see she's limping. And you embarrass people sometimes and they won't let you help them. You have to judge that in your own heart what to do. And so I said, did you hurt your ankle, your foot or something? And she told me what happened. And I said, I could pray for you. Would you like that? Would that be all right with you? And she thought a minute. She said, she did too. Look, see if anybody's watching. She said, okay. And I said, you know, when I pray for people, I like to make contact. I just like to touch you on the shoulder. Would that be all right with you? And she said, okay, just do it. I'm being gentle with her. First of all, I don't know her. And I don't want to offend her. And people can be offended. Most people just let you go ahead and ignore you. Or else they'll come into agreement with you, which is a wonderful thing. Now, what happened to her? I don't know, but I did what mercy would do. I did something. Mercy is what you do. It's what you do. Now, what did Jesus do? He healed the whole multitude. Look at Matthew 20. Sympathy is an emotional bond, and it's scriptural. Weep with those that weep. But mercy. Chapter 20. Did I say that? I don't even know. Chapter 20. Okay. Verse 31. Well, here's the two blind men in verse 30. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard of Jesus pass by, they cried out, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. You know what they're saying? Do something for us. Do something. Mercy is what you do. And mercy is always a product of the love of God. And the love of God is poured into your heart the day you got born again. And because the love of God is in your heart, you will be merciful and you will have by the Spirit a plan that you can do. And you will know, can I be aggressive? Do I be gentler? Well, if they're in the hospital in bed, you can be aggressive because they're not getting out. That's just a hint. They cried out for mercy. You don't cry out for mercy unless you've seen it in Jesus. If you were hard and harsh and unkind, I wouldn't be asking you to help me. I'd say, Dwayne, don't ask her. She's hard to deal with. Are y'all all right?
Amen.
All alone am I. Pastor sings that. I'm borrowing that from him. The multitude rebuked them. Okay, the people are not with them. People want them to shut up. They cried more, saying, have mercy. See, do not give up. Mercy is of God. There's plenty of it. It's new every morning. It's unending. Take your stand. Thou son of David. That means he knew who Jesus was. Son of David. Jesus stood and called, what will you that I do unto you? Now, what a dumb question to ask two blind men. What do you want me to do for you? You know why I did that? I know exactly why I did that. Because Aunt Eula called and she said, I told you all my stories. You've heard all my stories, so you can write my memoirs. She called, and like the rest of our family, she's about this high. And Dr. Hagen was in Winter Haven, and she wanted to go hear him. She's facing heart surgery. So we didn't ask what she wants us to have laid on her because she's facing heart surgery. That's what you'd assume, right? And she doesn't hear. And so I told the usher, and he said, I'll put her right under the speaker. Can she sit by herself, or do you have to escort her? I said, no, she's fine. And Wayne said, now, Aunt Eula, don't get up. When this is over, you stand right here, and I'm coming to get you. So the next week was Thanksgiving, and she called the house, and she said, oh, my family's here, and they're so loud. I can't stand it. They're so loud. And I thought, what in the world? I said, well, you love your family. She said, I do, but they're so loud today. And I didn't put two and two together. So I said, well, tell your daughter you'd like to take a nap. Have you had your lunch? Yes. I said, well, go take a nap. Tell her you just want to take a nap, and all the people will understand old people need their nap. You believe that, do you? And then it dawned on me. She was hearing me. God did not heal her heart. He restored her hearing. Why did he do that? I don't know. She had successful heart surgery. She did very well eventually. And I thought, that's why he said, what? He's testing. He wants their faith extended to him. What do you want me to do? What does your faith dictate that I should do for you? Where do you want me to be merciful? See, they had cried out for mercy. Mercy is what you do. It's what God does. It's what you do when you help others. And he said, open our eyes and said, Lord, had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. It uses the word mercy and compassion because to have compassion is to be merciful. To be merciful is to have compassion. And next door to those two words is the word pity, which means to have compassion. Okay. Look at Mark chapter 5. See, we kind of thought that Jesus was doing all these things on earth to prove he was God. He was doing them because he's compassionate, because he has a heart for people, because he wants to help, because he's very gracious. Gracious people have to do something. Mark 5, this is the Gadarene demoniac, you know, Jesus cast the devil out and all that. And he wanted to go with Jesus, and you can understand that. Look at verse 19. Jesus suffered him not. Jesus said, you can't go with me. Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had what? Hath had what? The healing ministry of Jesus was a ministry of compassion. He did it because he loved people, and he wanted them well, and he wanted them whole. He wanted the Father's presence and healing hand to be in their lives. And over again, it says he had compassion. Well, now let's look at, I'll tell you in a minute. Luke 7. The worst moment in the world is to have somebody in need and you can't figure out what to do for them. Have you been there? I have. And then I say, Wayne, send him a note. Send him a note. He said, what'd I say? I said, I don't know what to say. If I knew what to say, I'd already sent the note myself. I don't know. You send him a note. Because your heart cries out to be merciful. And I didn't know what they needed. I didn't know. They don't live anywhere close. So I can't talk to them, you know, face to face, which would be my preference. Well, so you take time to pray and stir up your spirit. Find out what God says, what can I do? When my brother comes to town, he doesn't live here. I don't have to search my spirit to know what can I do for him that would make him really, really happy. He has a particular kind of cake. And we bake it the day before, and we wrap it and bundle it all up so he can take it back with him. And because we don't often see him at Christmas time, we might make it for New Year's, we might make it for his birthday. When he says he's coming, we think, what are we going to bake for Philip? Fruit cake. He's a fruitcake person. He's also a fruity person, but we won't talk about that. You know what that meant, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Verse 11, it came to pass the day after when he went into the city of Nain, and many of his disciples were with him and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city were with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion. And he said, now don't weep. Don't cry. Don't cry. See, there's something in the Christian that was in their Lord and Master that says, I'll help you. What can I do for you? And of course, he raised him from the dead. Now let's look at Mark 8 before we finish. You know, it's not that I always know what to do. And it's not that sometimes I'm just willing. Oh, well, sure. I could do that. This is a multitude that hadn't eaten in 3 days, been listening to Jesus 3 days without eating. Are you focusing on that? 3 days, no food, we're listening, we're not eating? Y'all are not? Okay. And Jesus said to the disciples, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days of nothing to eat. If I send them away fasting, their own houses, they'll faint by the way. For divers of them came from afar. And so he's going to multiply the loaves and the fishes. He fed people because of his compassion. He healed them because of his compassion. Now let's finish with 1 John. And let me prove this to you again. When you fall in love with Jesus and the love of God is poured into your heart, in that love is compassion or mercy. And 1 John says, I love this verse. It couldn't be any clearer than chapter 3, verse 17. Whosoever has this world's goods, that means this is a need that you really could meet. Okay? You have the means to meet it. Seeth his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He said, if you're not compassionate, the love of God is not really in you. People who have God's love, they're born again, the love of God is poured into your heart. People who have God's love are always compassionate. And what John said, if you're not compassionate, if you don't reach out and meet this need, and you could have met this need, the love of God is not in you. You know what that means? Maybe you're not born again. See, we kind of make excuses for ourselves, right? Well, you know, maybe Mary Lynn will decide to do it. And, you know. I always call my sister at Christmas time. First of all, I'm not a shopper. I'm not a lot of things. I'm basically a Bible teacher. And I call my sister and I say, now, what are we going to do for the two nephews and niece we have in Georgia? I say, what are we going to do for them? See, I don't have a clue. And I'm not even going to be compassionate and hunt a clue. I'm going to see, does she have a clue? Does she know? She says, well, I have a list from all three children, and I'll tell you, mark off the list what I'm buying, and then you decide what you want. And then she knows me well. She said, okay, what day you want to do this? I'll pick you up and show you what you want. That's compassion. Compassion says, this is how I'm going to help you. This is how I'm going to help you. It was compassion. God so loved the world. We major in that. That's wonderful. God so loved the world. But Titus said, it's of his mercy. Where there's love, there's always mercy. And where there's mercy, there's always action. Right? Right?